Good evening, everybody. Hello. How's it going? Good? I'm a youth leader, so I like hearing you guys. I won't move on unless I hear you guys. I'll ask them like 20 times until they basically yell at me. So we're going to do a little bit of that today. So how are you guys? All right. That was a little bit better. Ivan was a little late, but that's okay. So today I felt the Lord to share today on the truth about forgiveness. And a little pro tip, if you're ever gonna preach on anything, look up the word in the Greek or the Hebrew, and it just opens up a whole new world. Like, you could just read it, and all of a sudden the sermon, the teaching just writes itself. I'm going to do it short because short, sweet and short to the point. So I usually start every single sermon, every single teaching I do, the theme, I look it up, the definition, just to make sure I know if that's actually the word I'm looking for. But forgiveness, I didn't actually do that. I didn't look it up in the dictionary. And because, like, we all know what forgiveness is. There's no hidden meaning. It's exactly what it means. Right? We all know what forgive. When you forgive somebody, it's straight to the point, right? But, like I said, I looked it up in the Greek. And forgiveness in the Greek means deliverance, pardon, or release, ascending away. And I thought, just say that and I'll leave. So that's good. But I went like, think about it. What is one of the core beliefs in the Christian faith? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a huge, it's one of the most important. It's what it's based off of. And I didn't look super in depth in all the stuff, in all the other religions. I just quick overview. And from what I could tell, that no other religion pushes forgiveness like the Christian faith. And I'm talking about the whole Christian faith, like even the Catholic and the whole umbrella, that whole umbrella that's considered Christian. None of them push forgiveness like the Christians do. And the core belief here, that what we believe is, when you ask for forgiveness, when you repent, when you confess your sins to God, what happens? What happens? He forgives you. And what happens? He forgives us. We ask for forgiveness and he forgives us. It's not maybe he forgives us. No, he does. If you've been to a Catholic church and stuff like that, you might have to do a few prayers, like three certain prayers, and then you're forgiven. But here, the Christians believe that as soon as you repent, you say to God, sorry, and you repent, turn around 180, completely turn around from that, you're forgiven. So Romans 3, verse 23, it says that, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that means all of us, all need forgiveness. Right? No? All need forgiveness. And so what happened about, I don't know, 2018 years ago, in a few months? Christ took the burden, died, and rose again. And he forgave all our sins. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, I'm going to focus on the second half. It says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as for God in Christ forgave you. So Christ already forgave us. But again, here, if we go backwards, I like reading the scripture and then going back upward. Because it's kind of like, this is what it says, and then I'll read it this way, and this is how you're supposed to act. That's how the way I see it. It says, Christ forgave us, you, me, so now we have to forgive each other for anything. And by doing that, that means we're going to be kind and tender-hearted to each other. In Luke 6, verse 27, I put the words in Jesus. There's a little button back there on the our scripture stuff that you could put, like the words that Jesus says are in red, just like in the Bible. And I decided to try it today. It was some kind of fun thing to do. So this is Jesus talking. He says, "But I say to you, who here love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." What? Wrong scripture. I must have mistyped the scripture. I'm sorry. Luke. I guess I mistyped it. All right. Mark 11. Yeah. Verse 25 says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive you and your trespasses." Then it says something similar in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so this is where it gets a little real. Where it starts getting a little bit like, it starts chipping away at you like, hey, like, this is what we need to work on. The Bible says, Jesus says, to forgive others just like your Father or your Heavenly Father forgave you. Because if you do not forgive other people, what happens? What happens? It says right there at the end. Your Father will neither forgive your trespasses. And that's hard. That's hard. It's not easy. But it's something that we need to do. Especially as, what are we? It's Christians. As Christians, what's the core belief? Forgiveness. So we need to forgive everyone. Everyone. I didn't put it in, but in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter goes up to Jesus, saying, "How many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? Seven times?" But then Jesus says, no, it's 70 times 70, seven. That's a lot of times. that's a lot. I think Jesus was being a little sarcastic there and saying, as much as it takes. As long as they're asking for forgiveness, you keep giving them forgiveness. Forever and eternity and ever and ever and ever. So how many times do we forgive somebody? As much as it takes. We turn to Acts 3. I could turn to Acts 3. There's so many scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about forgiveness. I chose a few just because if you want to, you could just keep looking and you could spend days looking through scriptures about forgiveness. About how not to hold a grudge, how to just let go. But in Acts 3, I found something very, very interesting. In verses 19 and 20, it says, "Repent, therefore, turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Christ appointed to you, the Christ appointed to you, Jesus." So we were saying earlier that repent is another word for forgiveness, forgiving forgiveness. So when we ask for forgiveness, we get forgiveness. And our sins will be forgiven. And what comes after the forgiveness? Refreshing. In the presence of the Lord. There's scriptures that say that you won't be able to enter the presence of the God if you have unforgiveness in your heart. And this is very interesting for me because the refreshing to me kind of means like renewal, like kind of like healing, like getting better. I used to play soccer, and if I would get injured and I would come back, I would feel fresh. And being able to, like, I felt like I was able to play better after an injury. Like, after I completely healed my injury and came back. And so I could kind of see this as healed. And this is very interesting because I decided to do some research. And I found a bunch of articles, non-Christian. Don't throw anything at me because I'm reading non-Christian stuff. But I was reading an article that's not Christian saying that holding a grudge is bad for you. Bad for your health. And that could lead to diarrhea, to breathing problems, and to depression. I mentioned diarrhea because I'm a youth leader. And it's an unspoken rule that every time you preach, the youth leader has to mention poop. It's an unspoken rule that all youth leaders follow. But I found that interesting that diarrhea, breathing, and breathing problems, and depression. And I'm not saying just if you struggle with asthma or if you have stuff like that, I'm not saying that you have unforgiveness in your heart. But this is just what the doctors were saying, the doctors that did the study. And then so I decided, you know what, I'm just going to dig a little bit more. And so I found myself on an Arizona website that separates the counties and diseases. Did you know that Cochise County has the highest percentage of asthma in Arizona? The highest percentage of asthma of all of Arizona I found that interesting. And other breathing related issues. And something that's very interesting, if you spent enough time praying with the leadership here, you would know that a few years ago we were praying and we felt the Lord and a reveal of a stronghold of betrayal here in this area. And like in the Cochise County area, we felt that like there's a stronghold of people here feel betrayed for some reason or another. So in other words, they're holding a grudge against somebody because they felt betrayed. It's kind of interesting that they found that with about the asthma, and then Cochise County has a really high asthma count. Or maybe it could just be that it's dusty. But Nogales, the county right next to us, has the lowest percentage of asthma. So they're dusty too. So I'll let the Lord reveal to you what he wants revealed. And so I went a little bit further. So what was the next thing we talked? We said depression. I looked for a stat on depression about the counties in Arizona. I couldn't find any. I couldn't find any depression stats. But I did find suicide percentage. And Cochise County is really high compared to the other counties. Now, it's not the highest, but it's really high. And when I was looking at that, when I was looking through all that, I found the number one cause of death in Cochise County. Does anybody want to guess? Anybody want to guess? It's cancer. So I was like, oh, that threw off my whole train. I was like, oh. But then I went, what type of cancer? Does anybody want to guess the type of cancer, the number one type of cancer that kills in Arizona? In Cochise County? Lung cancer. It got me excited, but like, I feel like God is doing something. God is revealing to us that we need to get rid of this spirit of betrayal by forgiving, by spreading forgiveness. And if God, if what we heard from God was true, that there's a spirit of betrayal here, that means a lot of people have unforgiveness, and then there's the results. In the natural, the thing is spiritual, but the infection is natural. It causes asthma, depression, suicide. So I'm going to leave that with you guys. I'm not telling you what to believe, but I want you guys to. I just gave you some facts that what we heard from God, from the leadership, what the leadership heard from God here, and stats of Arizona. Cochise County specifically. So now Colossians, if we could go ahead and jump to Colossians 3:13. Going back to forgiveness, is bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also must forgive. Ephesians 4, verse 31-32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another. We read the scripture already. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. We need to forgive. Now, I'm just going to be reading scriptures that forgive, 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 forgive. We must forgive because Christ forgave us. I was going to focus on the forgiveness that God gave us. But I think we have a hold on that, and we understand it. I felt more of a pull towards this, about forgiving other people. You're going to hear it a bunch. Forgive other people. Forgive each other. Matthew 18. We're going to read this parable, verses 21 through 35. This is when Peter came up to Jesus. And he says, it says right there, Peter came up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many times as seven? And Peter thought like, oh, this is a lot. I'm going to look like a goody two-shoe, like saying, oh, seven's a lot. And then Jesus goes, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. That was a weird way to put it. Seven times 70. 70 times seven, yeah, it's the same thing. A bunch of times. Verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell to his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of servants released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found out one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized him. He began to choke him and saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to the master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And you should not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do every one of you will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's a pretty deep account on what Jesus is saying about forgiveness. Forgive, because God forgave you so much, you better forgive that little thing. And I caught something interesting in verse 28. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii and seized them and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. He got violent, choking. Of course, we don't have the backstory of how this guy was. But he got aggressive. And that's the thing that holding forgiveness, holding a grudge does to us. It gets us angry. And we see the effects. We might not notice them right away, but we see the effects. Up until a few years ago, I struggled with anger issues. Like, really bad. Only a few close people really knew. But it was pretty bad. And it was just the way I always was growing up. Growing up, since I could remember, I was always angry. I would yell at my little sister for really not doing anything. I was an angry person. And I never knew why until God showed me. Somebody from this church brought up to me and told me, "Peter, you have an anger issue. You need to deal with it. We'll pray with you." And after that, God showed to me that I had forgiveness towards my dad. Growing up, my dad wasn't around. About my dad, I only have two real memories. When I think of my dad, these are the two memories that come to my mind. One is of him hitting my mom. And then another one of my mom getting me and my sister into a car and my dad throwing a beer at the windshield. Those are the only two memories I have of my dad. And you know what? In the world, he probably doesn't deserve forgiveness. He probably doesn't. But Jesus says otherwise. Jesus says otherwise. And a few years ago, it took everything in me. I really couldn't do it by myself. But I called him up. And we talked. And I forgave him for everything he did. And the relationship's not perfect right now, but we're still working towards it. But after I forgave him, I noticed like a month later that I hadn't had any, what do you call it, anger episodes, anger issues. It wasn't that I noticed overnight, like, oh, I forgave, and all of a sudden this thing lifted off, and I wasn't angry anymore. No, I didn't notice it until like a month later. I was looking back. I was like, "Hey, that I really haven't even yelled in the last month." So holding on to forgiveness causes our bodies to be unhealthy. It causes our brains to malfunction, to cause. I think on one of the researches that I was looking through, I found that holding a grudge kills our love, what's the thing called? The hormone, whatever it's called, that causes love, it causes it to not come out. And it causes the hatred one to come out. And it doesn't matter, it's not towards the person that you have unforgiveness to, it's just whoever's around you. You might have unforgiveness towards somebody who did you wrong when you were in middle school and high school, and now your wife is suffering it. Or your mom is suffering it. Or your children. So we need to ask for God to show us if we have something like that. If you struggle with anger issues, talk to God about it. try to see where he tells you. If you struggle with those health issues that we talked about, I'm not saying that, remember, I didn't say if you have those, you have unforgiveness. I'm just saying this is what the doctor said. See what God says. And the thing about unforgiveness, it could be addicting. It's addicting. Once we start keeping unforgiveness, we just keep unforgiveness in our heart. And it's contagious. The same way, though, forgiving people is contagious, too. Just like a smile is contagious. When we carry unforgiveness, we teach whoever looks up to us unforgiveness. If you think you have nobody that looks up to you, there's somebody who looks up to you. You guarantee it. You guarantee somebody looks up to you. It could be a coworker. It could be a nephew. It could be a son. It could be a daughter. It could be a friend. There is always somebody who looks up to you. And so if you continue unforgiveness, if you carry unforgiveness, you're going to teach them to be unforgiving. And I believe that's what's happening in the Middle East right now. It's just continuing of unforgiveness. They taught their sons to hate their opponent's sons. And it just continued. But the same way, like I said, forgiveness is contagious. We share forgiveness and it just goes through. And not only do we need to forgive each other, and sometimes it's the hardest part, is forgiving ourselves. Second Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Verse 18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I can't word. Yeah, you guys could read. We are new. We are new. And he forgave when we asked for forgiveness and came to Jesus, he renewed us, forgave our sins. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It says that we present ourselves as a living sacrifice daily. You know why we have to do it daily? Anybody know? Because we need it daily. But the scripture, it says, is a living sacrifice. What does a living sacrifice do if you put it something? If something's living, you put it somewhere, what is it going to do? It's going to go back to you? Okay, that's one thing. Okay, so like say you put a dog here. You come over here. What's the dog going to do? It's going to move around. What about a kid? If you put a kid there, they're not going to stay there. You know why? Because they're living. We're living sacrifice. That means daily we gotta keep putting ourselves back on that table. We got to keep putting ourselves back into the eyes of God. We got to keep putting ourselves because we wander because we're living. We're not dead. So we need to continually come back to Christ and continually come back and ask for forgiveness. It could be every day. It could be every single minute. But it's living, and we got to do it continuously. Colossians 3:8. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. This falls in line of forgiving ourselves. All these last scriptures we're going through is about forgiving ourselves. When we have unforgiveness, towards ourselves, we say, you're stupid. You're angry. You have anger towards yourself. You're like saying you don't deserve something. You don't deserve anything. You're worthless or whatever. But what does this say? You must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Does it say just towards your neighbor? Does it say just towards somebody else? Does it say just towards leadership? No, it says all. And you are included in all. So you cannot talk bad about yourself, because God told us to put all that anger, all that slander away. Throw it away. And what was one of the forgiveness? What was in the Greek? What was forgiveness in the Greek? Send away. To send away. In Matthew 22, verse 35 through 40, I feel like the last three times I've preached, I've taught, I've used this scripture. And one of them, a lawyer asked him a question to test him. They're testing Jesus. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. All right, right? We get that. And the second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. I'm not saying to be prideful. I'm not saying that to feel like you're better than everybody else. But it says right here that we should love your neighbor as ourselves. That means we got to love ourselves. We got to forgive ourselves for whatever happened. Growing up, I've heard about bus drivers killing themselves because they were in a car accident and a student died. Yeah, that hurts, but you know, Christ did have forgiveness if he would have asked. That was a very extreme example. But things like that, we carry things like that. And so going back with the story of me carrying unforgiveness, I was also not only did I carry anger with me, I actually had asthma. And I also had depression issues. I didn't think I was worth being on earth. I was suicidal. I did not love myself. And I know this world tells you, like, there's like two extremes in the world. One is that it's all about you. Me, 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 me. Love yourself. But then the other one is hate yourself. It's two extremes. But the love I'm talking about is not the selfish kind of love. Is that's not love. If selfish is accompanied by love, it's not love. But we are to love each other because God loved us and died for us. So if we don't love ourselves, we're saying, what are we saying? So we need to remember, love our neighbors as much as Christ loved us. That's a lot. And if you have anything in your life that you feel like you need forgiveness for, or that you feel like you don't deserve forgiveness, just ask God. Tell him. Ask him if you deserve forgiveness. Use your own words to ask him. When you go home tonight and you're in your prayer closet or in your bathroom, just ask God. God, do I deserve forgiveness? And you know what he's going to say? I already forgave you. Just ask for it. Just reach out. And if you don't believe me, I challenge you to ask him. So I'm going to leave you with that. Just remember to keep forgiveness in our hearts, to move forward and spread forgiveness, because it's contagious. Once we start forgiving people and if we stop holding grudges, stop holding betrayal, like how Mitch said earlier in the opening, it'll heal our land. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come here before you, Lord, and spend time with you, Lord, and get into your word, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you'll help us carry out forgiveness, carry out your word into the workplace, into our friends, into wherever we go, Lord, into our families, Lord. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you that your presence will come and follow us everywhere we go, Lord, that when we walk into a room, people will feel Jesus, Lord. And it'll cause them to cry out to, what is that Jesus that you're talking about? What is that forgiveness that you're carrying around? And that it would be Jesus, Lord. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being here. See you guys Sunday at 10 a.m. Invite your friend, your cousin, your cousin's friend, your friend's cousin, anybody you get a chance to. Invite somebody.